Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. This was God talking to Abram before he had Isaac. He said in Genesis 12, verse 2, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to many others, to many nations, before Abraham even had a son. He couldn't even imagine that, but you know what he did? He's the father of faith. And that's, we must believe that we have received what we are asking for. Praise God. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And welcome to the broadcast, Kimberly.
Thank you so much. Oh, it's good. It's good to hear your voice. I think it's been a few days since we've sat and talked a long time. So
yes,
I'm glad I get to hear your voice on the radio when we don't get to hear each other on the phone.
That's right. That's right.
This week has been such a good week for just, well, it's always good to study the word and just time to let the Lord change me, change my mind. I like that. Mm-hmm. I was reading in Genesis 2:9, because it's January, we're in Genesis, and I went back to Genesis 2 to look. It says in verse 9, out of the ground, the Lord God caused every tree to grow that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I was focusing my attention on those two trees that were planted in the garden, mostly because I do like to read Song of Solomon fairly frequently. The Song of Songs, that great song that is better than any other song written, is such a beautiful metaphor and allegory. It's so many pictures, but the pictures, most of those pictures are, they're referring to us.
Yes.
We are the garden. We're his garden, and we're his beloved. And so even though Genesis is a historical account, we can look back and see that's what God did and that's what he planted. This is what he started all creation with. It's also God's way of communicating deeply on a really deep level and giving us a metaphor to look at. So in that garden, the garden of you, the garden of me, there are two trees that are planted there, and one is the tree of life and one is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I like to see those as choices. And especially for us believers who have made Jesus our choice, we have a direct line to relationship with him and communication with him. That is the tree of life planted mm-hmm. in us. Mm-hmm. And then there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't just go away. We have a tendency to have knowledge, to gain knowledge through our senses, and to judge what is good and what is bad, or what is right and what is wrong. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has given us wisdom, but sometimes we don't always use his wisdom. We try to use our own.
Yes.
And when we do that, we're on a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. I can be on a slippery slope when I'm mm-hmm. trying to judge things for myself.
Yes.
So,
for instance, when you tell somebody about their diet, for instance, we see things that we love to eat, but does our body react in a way that would make it beneficial to our body and make it healthier. And when you started talking to me about, Mom, I don't eat any sugar or refined flour, and you know, you're going through all of these different things that you don't eat anymore because of the wisdom that God gave you about your body, I believe we need to get off of our senses, because just because something looks good and it tastes good doesn't mean that it's good for us.
I like that. Yeah, that's a very good example. And the diet that I have ended up with may not necessarily be the best one for you.
That's right.
You might not do as well trying to remove the same things that I've removed from my diet. So that's something that I like to keep in mind, that God leads each one of us individually. Mm-hmm. It's not just a blanket statement for everyone and we all have to follow it.
Yes.
That's really good.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think that those two trees, that tree of life, which is relationship and really leaning on God for his wisdom, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, those two trees can also be two paths. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, because the wide gate and broad path is the way that leads to destruction. Nearly everyone chooses that crowded road." I think that scripture is often used in churches to judge how many will make it to heaven. And it suggests that because many choose that crowded road, many will be left out of heaven. And then there are those who will ask, can such a loving Father and gracious God create so many beautiful, beloved people just to assign them to fire and fury and destruction? You know, that's hard. Those are hard questions. And that's something that's been difficult for many people to wrestle with. So I want to bring up Ezekiel 18:23. God asks, "Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked?" And in Ezekiel 33:11, he answers that question and says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but I long that the wicked turn from his way and live."
Yes. God's desire is that no one should perish.
Yes.
But the fact is that we all have a free will. And even here he says, I long for, and he longs for everyone to be saved. But
yes,
as you said before,
right,
there's a choice every human being has to make. That's right.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So it's sad. There will be some who perish. That is a sad thing, a grievous thing. It's too bad that they're not making the right choice. Mm-hmm. But 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Yes, that's his wish. That's his heart's desire. Mm-hmm. When I find out somebody's heart's desire, I like to be in agreement with them, and I like to pray with them for that. And 1 Timothy 2:4 says again, this is the Lord's desire. He longs for everyone to embrace his life and return to the full knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
So here we're seeing the Father's desire. That is his desire. He longs for all to come to him. And if we will start praying in agreement with him, we've talked about being a two-mouthed sword from Hebrews 4, having that two-mouthed or double-edged sword, which is the word of God. He spoke it first. He says, "This is my desire." And if we start saying, "Oh, that's my desire too, I am praying for this one too," then that's really clenching something powerfully, strongly, where we can see people turning off that wide path. There is a wide path of destruction, and there are many who choose it. And you know what? There are some days I choose that path too. I know that I love Jesus and I want to follow him with all my heart. But every now and then, especially if I am being cut off in traffic, I have angry thoughts, and I'll go right to my sense knowledge, and I will go straight to the senses and make decisions, and they're quick. I do repent, but I think of that as being that wide path. Oh, yeah, you know what? Everybody does this. Everybody gets mad in traffic. Mm-hmm. Everybody starts yelling at each other.
Yes.
and so I don't want to stay there. I want to turn off of that and get off of that as fast as I can and get back on the narrow way of, you know what? Let me just make room for you. Let me think of you. You might actually have some horrible things going on in your world. And I just want to make room for you in the traffic. And I want to bring peace to the traffic that's going. You know, we've talked about that before, the traffic. So I think that there are ways that we can pray our loved ones off the wide path and help them grasp the mercy of God, the love of God, and long for it even. Just ask that God make them hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Yes.
Start praying that and speaking that into our loved one's life. God, we believe that they will hunger and thirst after righteousness.
That's right. You remember, especially in The Chosen, it comes out, when Nicodemus, who was high up with the Pharisees and the scribes, he was a learned leader of the Jewish people, and he came to Jesus one night because, of course, he felt intimidated by the other leaders. And this is one man whom Jesus brought into the kingdom of God by the very words and beautiful things that he spoke to Nicodemus. I believe Nicodemus went away that night a new man. He was, yes, on that wide path, but now he's in a way, as only he could do, he's serving Jesus as the Messiah.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, because Nicodemus was a leader, yes, in the church,
yes, in the synagogue, yes.
Yes. So that's just a good point, that even Christians, there are many Christians that choose to stay on that wide path, and it's hard for them to turn off and want it. What is it about us? We're just such independent individuals. We just really want our own independence, even from God.
And
it's hard for us to stay in communication with him. Yeah,
yes.
Go ahead and
don't
ask.
You think it's because that both body and mind have been educated and controlled by the world for so long?
Absolutely.
And it's the spirit.
Yes.
And in most people that are living for the world, that spirit is just tiny. It's never, they've never allowed it to grow. It's just it's like a prune.
Yeah, we haven't fed. yes right. It's like that story. There's two wolves. There's a white wolf and a black wolf, and they're both constantly fighting and constantly struggling against each other. Which one wins? The question is, which one wins? And the answer is the one you feed.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Whoa, that's
the
good.
The one you feed.
That's a good analogy. Wow.
Yeah. So, it's so important for us to feed our spirit and to read the word. That's my way of feeding my spirit. But even listening, if you can't read really well, listening to the word of God and listening to those teachers who have found the love of Jesus and are walking in Jesus' ways and Jesus' truth. I really love John 5:24. It says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, the person who hears my word and believes and trusts in him who sent me now has eternal life. So it's not this road that we're just kind of meandering on, mm-hmm, and yeah, we're making mistakes and it's going to be made. The decision will be made up at the end of our life.
No,
it says now. He now has that eternal life starting today. And that eternal life actually begins. The believer is transformed and does not come into judgment and condemnation, but has passed over from that death into life. Mm-hmm. So, oh, we as we pray for our loved ones to know Jesus, they pass over from that wide path that's full of destruction and destructive ways. They can pass over and join our Lord on that narrow path and start thinking differently. We can, oh, that prayer that they would hunger and thirst after righteousness, God will answer that prayer and get them off of that crowded road, that wide path.
Yes. Oh, amen.
God has ways of blessing that road. And I was listening to a song that's not necessarily a Christian song. It's by Rascal Flatts. Don't know if you've ever heard of that group before.
Oh, how dare I have a program, have a song like that on Call to Freedom.
Oh, I'm so glad we get to play this song. It's called God Blessed the Broken Road. Yes. Go ahead and play that, Matt.
Set out on a narrow way many years ago, hoping I would find true love along the broken road. But I got lost a time or two, wiped my brow and kept pushing through. I couldn't see how every sign pointed straight to you. Every long lost dream led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they were like northern stars, pointing me on my way into your loving arms. This much I know is true, that God blessed the broken road that led me straight to you. Yes, it did. I think about the years I spent just passing through, lying to have the time I lost and give it back to you. But you just smile and take my hand. You've been there, you understand. It's all part of a grander plan that is coming true. Every long lost dream led me to the broken road that led me straight to you.
So I think of that.
It's beautiful.
Oh. Yes. Sometimes music can just say it better than anything else. I think of that song as God blessing the long lost dreams, the broken hearts, and every poor decision, even. that we've made. God can exploit all the bad decisions that we have made, exploit them, and use them for good. He truly is the artist, the creator, that works all things and all paths for good, for his good and our good.
Yes.
So he blesses those broken roads in our lives so that we can find ourselves in our true lover's arms. And that's a capital L, lover.
That's right.
In his arms.
I know. Our verse for this week is Philippians 4:13 in the Passion. And it's taken me quite a while to learn it. But I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me, Kimberly, to conquer every difficulty, every relationship difficulty, everything that comes into our lives. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's good. That's a good verse to have memorized.
The first one in the Passion that I've memorized.
And that's a challenge, isn't it? When we've been memorizing the New American Standard or the King James Version most of our lives. Yes, yes. Oh, but just the riches of God's mercy. 2 Corinthians 1:3 tells us that our Lord is the Father of mercy and the God of endless comfort.
Yes.
And also in James 2:13, it says that his mercy triumphs over judgment. And this also cautions us not to judge. It's not our job to judge, for judgment will be merciless for those who judge. But as we practice mercy and thinking merciful thoughts and offering mercy to others, that mercy takes dominion over judgment.
Yes.
I believe that our mercy and our merciful prayers actually bind judgment and take authority and take dominion over that judgment. And we're actually finding ourselves in agreement with God's heart's desires. I just love that he has desires that all of us are saved. So if you have family members who are still walking on that wide path and they're making a lot of decisions that don't look good, choose to drop judgment and start praying mercy prayers over them. Be comforted also, knowing that you're not the only one praying for them. Romans 8. Oh, there's two verses in Romans 8 that I want to tell you about. Verse 26 tells us that the Holy Spirit super intercedes for us, pleading with God on our behalf with sighs and groans too deep for words. So the Holy Spirit is interceding for us on our behalf when we don't even know how to pray or what to pray. The Holy Spirit is doing it for us. And then Romans 8:34, that says, who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph?
Yes. Oh, amen.
Jesus is praying for each one of us. So with the Holy Spirit praying for us and Jesus praying for us,
it's
that
a
means two-thirds, yes, two-thirds of the Trinity are praying for us. And the other one, the Father God himself, has desires, his longings, his heart's desire is that none perish. So we're in a good place to be in agreement with him.
Yes.
And no, we can even be encouraged that our own stubbornness cannot prevent God from having his way in us, bringing us to full truth and leading us through it all on this broken path, through it all, leading us back to him. It's just so good.
Yes.
So good to know.
Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. And in fact, the rest of Romans 8 from 35 on says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? If you lose everything, these precious people in Louisville in Superior, they lost everything. They lost everything, just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. I love that word, conquer. It's in Philippians 4:13 in the Passion. Conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen. That's right. Nothing can separate us except, like you brought out in the very beginning, our own decision.
Yes.
To push ourselves away from him. There will be those who will perish because they choose that they will not. And so turning our hearts back toward him and saying, no, I choose you, God. And that's why sometimes that wide path, well, it has to have some destruction on it so that we will turn from that destruction and say, I need your help. I need help.
Yes.
And only God knows exactly how to get us to that place where we are truly asking him for help. But again, he is the one who does not desire for any of us to perish. And
that's right.
He is the one who is so patient through it all. 2 Peter 3:9. Patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to him, for all to come to that repentance.
That's right. Even though
we're in a good place.
Oh, that's right. Even the most rebellious of children, when your prayers are so effective. So continue, oh friends, continue praying for your loved ones who you think are lost, because God knows. Oh, thank you, Kimberly. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful blessing to hear about the assurance we have in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for having me. And to all of you out there, don't worry. Take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.